Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Assessing a person's legal matter often requires extensive interviews, review of contracts and documents, and research of the current state of the law on the issues involved. As a result, the information provided by the attorneys and guests of All Things Legal is given for informational purposes only. It is not to be construed as legal, tax, investment, or other professional advice. Communications with the attorneys on this program, whether verbal or digital, do not create an attorney-client relationship.
We're back for hour number two. Doug Sincera, Albert Nico, your weekend lawyers, All Things Legal. Give us a call, 260-1870, or text us, as we say in Bucktown, Texas, and, at 870-870, and we'll answer your legal question. We'll answer your sports question. We'll answer your sports question that has to do with legal. Or enforcement of rules, or whether offensive basket interference at the end of a Kentucky LSU game should be reviewable or not,
or whether defensive interference,
gosh, how
goaltending,
how your perception changes.
No, but I mean, nobody talked about that. But when you slap the backboard and somebody's throwing a shot off the backboard,
I'll tell you, yeah.
And hand through the rim, those are both goaltending.
That's hard to do. That's, as a basketball referee, that's a hard call.
Well, especially like you said, it's not the half court game. This was a fast break, and you're trying to get back there in time to make that call.
I talked about this last week. Schuyler Mays he's the guard, I think, off guard for LSU, a 4-0 student,
yep,
pre med,
yep,
playing basketball. Probably played Georgia today. He's probably home right now studying for his physics or anatomy test.
That's a focused kid there.
Just a great kid.
He's focused.
His mom and dad did a good job with him, man.
Absolutely.
Congratulations.
Got a quick text on the loan call in question.
Okay, yeah, let's set it up people who
If you weren't in before the break, the guy called in. He's got a piece of property worth about $27,000-$30,000. He wanted to go do a signature loan and put his house up for property up for collateral for a $13,000 loan, and the bank wouldn't do it. And so there are all these underwriting reasons why they probably wouldn't. But he said he's got good credit. They just didn't want to make that loan. So somebody texted to begin with, he has a blank bad bank. All they want to do is credit cards and car loans. So
blank.
I think, again, like Doug said, you know, they have people up the food chain with restrictions saying your hands are tied. You can't make this loan because it doesn't fit this formula. And so my suggestion was to try local bank, you know, that banks that the decision makers here in town and, you know, can look at your record and you know, maybe make a better decision without being handcuffed with a lot of the underwriting rules.
You said it said a blank bad bank. It doesn't say blank.
Yeah, right. It says crappy, actually. It's got a crappy bank. But I was being nice on this
Sunday morning. Yeah. So they got kids going to church right now listening to us. So
yeah.
We don't want to say that word.
Exactly.
That's why we said blank.
Why couldn't LSU's baseball be seen or heard?
Oh, it can be. Well, yeah, right.
They covered basketball instead.
I think it's on today.
Yeah. But now, again, I understand that WWL's position on that, but I think you can find it
on ESPN apps. Okay, first of all, you could do it on the LSU sports app, Sportsnet. LSU Sportsnet, they have a free live feed, so you can listen to it. In fact, I listened to it in my hammock yesterday.
It's an audio?
Audio.
Okay.
And then if you got the ESPN
ESPN app, you can find it.
You can find it. Mm-hmm. Every LSU baseball game will be televised on either TV, SEC Network, or ESPN3. But turn down your radio and listen to Chris Blair.
Turn down your TV.
Turn down your TV,
right,
and listen to Chris Blair. And Doug Thompson is he's the former pitcher who does the color.
Yeah, they do a good job.
And on the road, Bill Frankes does the road games. So there you go, as the color. So there you go. What else?
We got Gary on line one.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Thanks. Let's go to Gary. You on All Things Legal with Doug Sincera and Albert Nico. What you got for us, Gary?
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. I was listening to the show, listening to all the legal things, and y'all brought up the no call off of the sports thing. So I figured I had to call in.
Sure.
And I really want an attorney's perspective on this. All right. Okay. I believe that on July the 20th, 2019, is when we found out that something is amiss about the NFL. All right. Now, I did a little looking, and I had an attorney bring this up to me, and I'd like to get your opinion on it.
All right.
Here's what it is. There's
what happened on July 20th?
Okay, well, there was a no call in the Dome Stadium is what happened. So I'm talking about that moment. As soon as that happened, everybody and across the nation knew something is not right. So here's my question. There are competitive sports such as tennis, soccer, volleyball, and then there happens to be, and they're under their own set of laws. Now, when it comes to entertainment sports, they're classified legally as sports that the outcome can be determined.
Yeah.
Right? And the three sports are roller derby, the wrestling federation, and the NFL. And I find that very, very perplexing that the NFL has gone. There has been precedent set where they've been taken to court over fixing of games, and they immediately say that they're under the entertainment clause and we're exempt. And then the judge hits the gavel and everyone goes home. So I'd just like to know your opinion on that. And one more thing, until that rule is addressed, I really don't, not sure I can watch the thing. And I put in 20,000 hours. I mean, the NFL is what I'm saying. 20,000 hours of watching NFL in my life.
Well, I mean, it's I think conceptually, it's the question is, why can't you go to court and fix a outcome that is grossly wrong? And that power vests with the commissioner of the NFL. Mm-hmm. In absence of any type, I think this is Doug Cinceri speaking as his opinion, but the only criteria that you could go in and undo the outcome of a game is if there was a direct evidence of a conspiracy to have one team to win. It would be almost like a RICO violation.
And again, I can't imagine.
And that's not in the NFL.
I can't imagine that they're on par with wrestling and roller derby, because wrestling and roller derby, I don't see a Vegas line on either one of those sports.
You're not betting on Hulk. You're not betting on Hulk Hogan against Andre the Giant.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's not happening. So, yeah. So, I mean, I think, it's the really the big beef is the commissioner. But the commissioner is employed by the 32 owners. In fact, there has been a story in the media. I don't know if Bobby or Christian or Deke have talking about. Bobby, Christian, or Mike D'Attilia have talked about it. But some of the owners have approached Adam Silver of the NBA to see if he was interested in becoming the commissioner. Only because I think. Would I have to say, everybody's got their opinion about Roger Goodell. I think he's just tone deaf, given his perception of you know, maybe
he's an absentee.
Being very aristocratic.
He does nothing. Yes. He is an absentee.
He's
he does nothing.
So
he didn't weigh in on the kneeling for the national anthem. He didn't weigh in on the. You know, he screwed up the whole Bounty Gate thing. He didn't weigh in on this for 2 weeks when he could have made that exact same statement the next day.
That's right, and put it to rest.
And it would have been over with. Hey, look, we're sorry, we missed it. We're going to address it in the Rules Committee.
So, but anyway, but in response to the caller, again, it you had situations where. You know, you had maybe back in the 60s, you had Paul Hornung and Alex Karras betting on games. You had something where it was a little more serious, but you still didn't have intervention outside of the NFL. It was taken care of in-house.
Right.
But I think if the only way that you would have a result of a game overturned is if somebody sat in some boardroom and said, we want the L.A. Rams to be in the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Anything short of that, it ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
Or is not. as my wife's going to say, you can't say ain't. Ain't. It's not going to happen. Ain't. So
you
there
can
you go.
Say ain't. You're from Louisiana. You can say
okay,
ain't.
It's okay to say
you
that?
You can say ain't and y'all and all kind of stuff like that.
Yeah. Where you at? Yeah, where you at, bro?
Yeah, where you at, bro?
There you go.
Might have to draw the line on where you at, bro. But,
all right, let's.
I ain't going to prove that, right?
You're not going to prove that?
All right, Joe's got a quick question.
Okay, let's go to phone lines with Joe. He's got a question regarding tenants. Hey, Joe, you on all things legal with Doug Sincere and Albert Nico.
Hello.
Hey, Joe, what you got for us?
Where
you
at, bro? I didn't say Joe.
Joe, oh, no. We got.
Is this Dan? Sounds like Dan.
I know it's Dan, but on our screen it says Joe. But now we know it's Dan.
No, Mr. Dan.
Mr. Dan, that's right. Yes. We are respectful of our elders.
Yes, I had a birthday last month and it's.
Happy birthday!
I'm old enough to be a Mister.
Mister, you are. You are. That's right. You were born during the Hoover administration, right?
Was Hoover in 1934?
No, actually, Roosevelt. That's Roosevelt.
Okay, I was in Roosevelt.
There you go. There you go. All right. What you got for us?
I forgot. How do I locate a guy that I want to find out his address and our next tenant? Who do I go to the find?
I remember the call. I remember the call from last week about how you wanted a little pound of flesh from this guy. Well, you can try some of those search things. I don't know if it's like people.com and some of these other things where you can try to search someone's address. And then you sign up, you give them your credit card, you pay a little fee. My guess is it might be a little early. The fact is, you know, they get those from sources. So they'll tap into the database for Entergy and for the utility companies, for whatever else. And then they'll be able to determine addresses from there. And it's usually good for previous addresses, but this was a recent eviction. It's going to take you a little bit more time for that information to hit those sources.
You got to go find another place to live and all that.
Yeah, let him find another place to live, settle in. You know, I mean, if he ran out on you,
I would go on Facebook, though. You might get some clues on Facebook, too, if you could put his name in. And, Dan, I'm sure you got a profile on Facebook, don't you?
Man, if I don't, I don't know why.
So there you go. So, I mean, that would be, but you're right. It's going to take Albert, like Albert said, it might take a few weeks for that profile to hit his new address. Dan, my man, thanks for the call. Let's go to break. Doug Sincere, Albert Nico, your weekend lawyers, all things legal. We'll be right back after this brief timeout. Hey, we're back. Doug Sincere, Albert Nico, your weekend lawyers, all things legal. We were talking a little bit about when you do a repair contract or a new home construction contract, the importance of making sure that the contract is drawn up in a way where it protects the rights of the homeowner. And we got a pretty extensive text on that.
It kind of jumps around a little bit on the screen. Let's see. Albert, I totally agree with what you're saying on construction law. The problem is most smaller contractors are not willing to do the things that you and I believe. And we talked earlier before the last hour about having a completion date and penalties and delay damages in the event that they don't finish it within that period of time. The large contractors do it, but the customer always pays for it on the contractor, or the contractor simply doesn't take the job. The thorough contractors are more prevalent in new construction and larger projects. I've been helping a friend out lately who's in the business. I have a finance degree from one of, and this is where it gets jumped in. Let's see.
What's the gist of it?
Well, it says, I've never seen a contract, anyone, I'm pretty certain that many small contractors, I don't agree with it, but it's reality. Something that, basically he's saying that the small contractors aren't willing to give you. So if you're doing a little $20,000 job or $10,000 kitchen renovation, they don't want any type of delay damages, or they don't want to, you know, guarantee a completion date or time. And, you know, again, all of that's subject to negotiation. I mean, if the guy said, oh, yeah, I'll be finished in 6 weeks. Okay, well, look, I'm going to give you 8 weeks. And after 8 weeks, if you're not finished, I'm going to start deducting, you know, on a small project, $250 a day until he's done. And you know, because I need it done. I can't live like this without a kitchen. We're living with my in-laws, you know, whatever the case may be, right? So you can always negotiate. And if the guy wants to walk away, he wants to. And then listen, he's like, wait a minute, what if the cabinets don't come in? Okay, well, then we'll put something in the contract that says if, you know, if the cabinets have not arrived, then, you know, we'll.
The time doesn't start.
Yeah, the contract will be extended until, you know, for that period of time after they're ordered. So, I mean, there are ways to do this and still make sure that your project comes in timely.
See, you've been doing this for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
One thing we've learned, everything is negotiable.
Absolutely.
Everything is negotiable. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, except
death.
You know, we talked about in a show a few weeks back. We talked about the New Home Warranty Act that I was mm-hmm. talking about, and I have a Senator Danny Martini and I've talked about maybe doing some revisions to it and proposing something in this year's legislative session because it is very favorable towards the contractors. I mean, the home builders. You know, a very big lobby there in Baton Rouge, and they pushed it through. But, you know, the New Home Warranty Act, the exclusive remedy between the homeowner and the builder of the new home. And their provisions in there, for instance, they don't include any sidewalks, driveways, fencing. Guy called me with brand new house, built a driveway. It's, you know, been 2 months, it's cracking to pieces. I said, you know what? You're out of luck. You're out of luck because
it's
exclusive remedy is the driveway is the New Home Warranty Act, and it excludes driveways. Now, if it says in the New Home Warranty Act that if you can negotiate that away, in other words, unless the contract says otherwise, these things are
doesn't
included,
apply.
Doesn't apply. So then those exclusions you can have removed from the contract. Say, look, warranty this thing for a year, right? It's just like you do other aspects of the warranty. So you got three different warranties under the Warranty Act. One is for general construction, 1 year. 2 years is for systems, HVAC, electrical, plumbing, that sort of thing. And then 5 years on the structure and foundation.
Everything is negotiable.
Yep. So you have somebody look at your contract, make sure you're getting into, you know, I had one, my brother's contract. He's built a house across the lake. The contractor came in where part of the contract said that my brother was going to defend and indemnify him for any damages and injuries, et cetera, that occurred on the project. I'm like, you're not building the house.
Yeah,
the contractor is.
So,
he needs to defend and indemnify
himself.
You, right? And so, you know, your basic person may not look at that provision and think anything of it. And so, we had a lot of things changed in that contract. But again, it's simple things like that they try to sneak in there. And
so we have another Nico lives on an offshore.
Yes.
You cannot walk through a Walmart two aisles without seeing a Nico somewhere. Man, y'all procreate. The Nicos have procreated over the last three generations.
There you go.
They're all over the North Shore.
That's not a bad thing.
That's a wonderful thing. That's what I'm saying. You go to Walmart, you turn a corner, you'll see a Nico somewhere.
Yeah, I'm the oddball among my eight brothers and sisters. I'm the only one with two kids.
Two kids.
Everybody else has a lot more. My older sister's got seven.
There you go. All right. Well, let's go to a CBS update, and then we're going to local news. We'll be back for the last half an hour of All Things Legal. We'll be back in about 4 minutes, so we'll see you then. Hey, we're back. Doug Sinteri, Albert Nico, your weekend lawyers, All Things Legal. We've got the call us. You know, WWL, or as Buddy said, WWL, is LSU's playing at 3 o'clock, pregame at 2:30 against Air Force. You know, LSU baseball is very patriotic. Love it. Because they, like in the past, they have honored veterans at each game and thanked them for their service, and they brought them before the game. And so now they're honoring, they want to play Army and Air Force to open up their season because we love our military in Louisiana.
Absolutely.
We like at LSU, we love our ROTC.
Mm-hmm.
So we're patriotic down here. There you go. All right, let's go to phone lines. Let's go to John's got a question regarding wills versus trust. Hey, John, you and All Things Legal with Ducks and Terry and Albert Nico.
Hi, good morning. I know you guys get this question constantly, but my question basically is, besides being able to avoid probate, what are the advantages of a trust versus a will?
Unless you have an acute reason to do a trust, I don't see any advantage.
Right. And there are some reasons.
But there's reasons.
If you got young children, If you've got somebody you want to keep in a house for a particular period of time until their death, you can do it by usufruct. But
you can do a trust in a will.
You can do a you can do a testamentary trust. And you can kind of dictate from the grave a little bit. So
but we're talking. Are you talking about a living trust to avoid probate?
Yeah.
I don't find a reason for that at all. You get guys out there, gals that are going to charge you $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 to do a whole trust package, and at the swipe of a pen, you can just say, you know, I revoke it. I don't want to do this anymore. Whereas a typical just basic succession, not very complicated, not tons of different investments, et cetera, but, you know, it's
probably less than would cost.
Less than half of that usually, including the court costs.
Okay.
And so it's not worth it. And like Doug finds all the time, oh, we didn't put this property in trust, by the way. And so now
we have that this week.
Got to open up succession anyway.
We'll open up a succession where somebody did a trust, thought they were going to avoid probate, and they're right square in the middle of it. In fact, it is causing more problems because you have a trust that's filed. You don't have a transferred property, and then you have to do quitclaims and other additional documents because you're sought in purgatory with that. Now, trust you know, maybe if you have property in four or five different states, that might be a situation where you could have things in one trust so that you can have just – you won't have five or six successions.
Right. Or better than that, I find, is to do an LLC here in Louisiana and have that LLC own property in the various other states. And that way, when you die, the interest in the LLC is transferred, but the property in all of these other states remains with the LLC.
So there's a lot of different ways. I just think it's sometimes...
overkill.
It's sold as trying to fit a square peg in a round hole,
right.
Or it's overkill or not necessary. Because when people say will versus trust, tell me why. I usually ask the question, why you wanted in a trust, and they said to avoid probate. Well, if you have, as Albert talks about, an independent administrator who stands in the shoes of the person who died or the decedent, then you know you don't really need it because they have the same flexibility once you're appointed as if the person was still alive as far as disposing of the estate.
And
so,
if that person passes away, right, and owns a house, that independent executor who's been appointed in a will can sign the paperwork to sell the house in the succession without any of the other heirs having to come and show up and sign, you know, powers of attorney or showing up at the closing. That person can sell the house, put the money into the estate account, and divvy it up. And
in
so
fact,
it's pretty simple process, and you don't have to go come to me with, and so we can file something with the court so to get court approval and advertise it. That's what runs up those expenses in probate, which you don't have to do.
And we just got a text saying, isn't it difficult to sell a home in a succession? No. If you're an independent administrator.
Right. And if everybody agrees, of course.
But if it's in a will, someone's appointed as an independent administrator, they can sell the house without court approval.
And without approval of the other heirs.
Without approval of the other heirs.
That's right.
So
I didn't know that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah, now, as long as everybody's made whole and they all get the same amount, you know, somebody says, I don't want to sell the house. Well, I'm the independent executor. I can sell the house, convert it to cash, and give you your share.
Yeah.
Well, the glitch is that I do own an LLC, but all the property is in Louisiana. But you know, if the good Lord lets me live a few more years, I'm going to dissolve that and liquidate it anyhow.
Uh-huh.
And 3/4 of my wealth is in annuities, which just has a
beneficiary.
Mm-hmm. So all I would have is a house and the annuities. That's But it seems like I can get by with a will for
absolutely, absolutely.
And, you know, a lot of people also, they'll prepare these trusts and put real estate in the trust and then not
transfer.
Not put a notice of trust, not record that in the parish where the property is located. And therefore, nobody knows that they transferred in the public records this property to a third party, which is a trust, would be a third party.
Right. And it seemed like one big, huge hassle.
We have probated a lot of estates that were originally irrevocable trust that were supposed to avoid probate. Mm-hmm. Even on a very innocuous issue, for example, if you sometimes some of the high-end assisted care places where you got to put a big down payment, mm-hmm. and then they have to return the money. They might have some money left over, and they have to return it to you. We've had situations that are saying, well, that's not part of the trust, so therefore you have to open probate in order to get
succession,
or succession to open to get this money back or get this particular refund.
And, you know, people also think that if I have my money in a revocable trust, it's protected from creditors. From creditors.
It's
and
not
it's not, because you have the authority to revoke it. And so they can step in and revoke it to collect their money. Irrevocable, that's different. Now, all of a sudden, you can't revoke it. You have no say-so. So all they can do is, if you're somehow a beneficiary, is attack those benefits that you receive from the income. But, again, it's there are few reasons. You know, like I said, if you have young children, you might want to put a testamenting provision where they get money over a period of time with a trustee until they're old enough to handle the money.
All right.
John, thanks for the call.
Let's go to a break. Doug Sincere, Albert Nico, your weekend lawyers. We'll be right back after this brief timeout. Doug Sincere, Albert Nico, your weekend lawyers.
Once again, lightning round.
We
want to ask all of our callers and all of our listeners, so we don't have to talk sports and bore you for the first hour. We get this all the time. We've got 4 phone calls and probably 10 texts now in the last 15 minutes of the show.
So let's roll.
So if you call in that first hour, that would really help things a lot. And you'd all probably have a little more time to spend with you as
well. All right. Well, let's go to phone lines. Let's go to Kim. What you got for us, Kim?
Hi. I had a question about child support. Mm-hmm. I receive a monthly child support from my ex-husband, but my son's about to turn 18 in May. He will be continuing on to college in August. So I'm hearing different things from people. My court papers don't seem to clarify when the child support ends.
He ages out when he graduates.
Is he going to end at 18?
Yeah, he's going to age out.
When he graduates high school?
Yeah, he's going to be 18 when he graduates high school.
That's correct.
Yeah, he ages out in May. Graduation day.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Is he the last child?
He's the only.
He's the only child. So, yeah, you don't – by operational law, he'll age out.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kim.
Thanks for calling. Let's go to – Charlotte's got a construction question. Hey, Charlotte, you on All Things Legal.
Thank you. I heard you all mention before the end of the other hour about the $250, $300, or $400 penalty. Does that get repaid to the contractor at the end of the punch list, or is that a penalty that he never receives?
That would be a penalty that he doesn't receive. So what happens is if you know, he says, yeah, I'll finish your renovation in 6 weeks, and you say, okay, look, after 8 weeks, we're going to start hitting you up for $250 a day. That comes off the total amount of his contract. So he knows he knows that it's going to be reduced by that amount.
She's off quick. She must have thought she was getting charged.
Yeah.
She got off quick.
No, it's free today.
It's free today. All right, let's go to Tracy. Tracy's got a question regarding house purchase. Hey, Tracy, you're on All Things Legal with Doug Sincere and Albert Nico.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I bought a house about a year ago on an acre, and they left a tiny home on there that supposedly belonged to a friend of theirs. He did work for them, and so that was their exchange.
Mm-hmm.
I let them, the guy said, who now supposedly owns the tiny home, said he would come by and get it in about a month. It's going on a year now, and mm-hmm. I'm worried it's going to raise my property taxes because it adds value, and he won't come and get it.
A tiny home, is it a slab?
It's sitting on the property.
No, it's on a trailer. It's got AC in it. It's got heat.
Mobile home.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he won't come and pull it off the land. And some people are telling me it's mine the day I bought it. I don't want to do that to the guy, but he won't come and get it.
Well, I'm sure you've sent that letter, right?
I haven't. I just did it through text. I need to send the letter, right?
Well, you could send it through text saying, look, you need to come and get it off the property. I'm going to have it towed away, and it's going to go to a particular yard, and you're going to pay the tow expenses, and that yard's going to take it. And after you have, believe it or not, less rights than the towing company. But, I find this a lot with people that own trailer parks. Somebody will die, leave their trailer there, and they want to have it removed. Or they'll evict them because they're not paying the rent, but now they got to do something with the trailer. You have the tow yard take it and bring it to their yard, and after so many weeks, months, whatever the duration is, they then have the right to sell that to pay for their storage and tow fees.
So they get the money then.
Yeah, doesn't matter. Yeah, at this point, say, look, I'm going to have it towed away, and then you're going to have to go pay storage and towing to retrieve it. And if you don't, they'll sell it and, you know, keep the money.
What if I have somebody that wants it and they have the capabilities of getting it off?
Well, you know, there's issues with good title and that sort of thing. I mean, if they take it, you know, then he may have an issue with the fact that he's got a valid title to that property.
Okay. Is there any recourse of getting any land rent for him from him? No, because I didn't have that agreement.
Yeah,
with him
you
in the
needed
first
to have
place.
Some sort of rental agreement with him, and that's not, you know. But I would, you know, just threaten him with that, and I have a feeling he'll figure out a way to come get it.
Thank you very much for your time. Appreciate it.
All right, Tracy.
Carl, let's go to Ray. He's got a question regarding wills. Hey, Ray, you and all things legal with Doug Sincere and Albert Nico.
Yeah, good morning. How you doing? Can you hear me?
Yes. I hear you good, brother.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Well, this is not so much of a will, but it's more of a property that my dad left when he was up in age. I have siblings.
Uh-huh.
And years ago, back probably in the 90s. But he has about 9 to 10 acres of land. But what he did,
where's the land located?
He signed it over to me as far as being like a dollar, went to attorney. And he was useful for as long as he lived.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Okay, so when he died, you know, he was exempt. So now, you know, we pay the taxes on it. So my question is, I had other siblings that have passed. And they passed before he did this, and a couple of them passed afterwards. So it's like it's me and five sisters. So if we ever want, there's no dispute or anything, but if we pay the taxes on that, but if we ever wanted to sell it, my question is with the siblings for a deceit, would you have to do a succession, or would it?
I think you told me you said that he transferred the property to you, right?
He donated it to you.
Yeah.
Okay. Now did he outlive your mom? Okay, so the siblings have the mother's interest. So you've got a 50% interest of the property from your dad and a percentage interest from your mom along with your siblings.
Actually, the property was inherited. It wasn't from my mother at all. It was inherited.
Oh,
it was
his separate property. Okay.
Then it sounds like it's based on what you described, it's your property, and you would not have to own succession. You own it right now.
Yeah, you wouldn't open a
based
succession.
Based on what you described.
Right. And then you just need to make sure that donation's recorded in the parish where the property's located. I didn't hear we were talking over each other. Say that again.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm saying, what about all my siblings who are deceased?
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. It's yours.
He's got a right to donate that property to whoever he wants. As long as none of your siblings was a minor at the time or if...
As described by you, it's 100% yours and 0% anyone living or deceased.
Mm-hmm.
So it's yours.
Okay.
It's in your back pocket, brother.
There you go.
All right, let's go to a break. Doug Sincere, Albert Nico, Your Weekend Lawyers. All things legal. We'll be right back after this brief timeout. Doug Sincere, Albert Nico, Your Weekend Lawyers. If you want to call us at our law firm, you can call us at 504-837-1304, 504-837-1304, Nico and Sincere Law Firm. We've got a text on Albert.
If I want to leave my adult children so much money per year upon my death instead of a lump sum, is that a trust? Yes, and so what I would do is make a testamentary trust. So as part of your will, you spell out who you want to be your executor, et cetera, and then you put a trust provision in there.
It would be like your will is pregnant with a trust.
There you go. And then then you name who the trustee of that trust is, who the income beneficiaries are, what happens to the trust property when the trust terminates, what are the provisions to trigger the termination of the trust, that sort of thing. But yes, you can do that and leave a lump sum each year to your children instead of an amount each year instead of the lump sum.
You're paying out from the grave.
There you go.
All right, let's go to Jody's got a question regarding car dealerships. Hey, Jody, you're in all things legal.
Hey, how y'all doing this morning?
Good. What you got for us?
Listen, I took a vehicle to a dealership, which is a close dealership here, for a problem that I had with it. And then when I got it there, they fixed the problem. I took it away from there.
New car or used car?
It's a used car, and I did not buy it from them.
Okay.
But when I took the vehicle back away from them, I had a couple of other issues with it that wasn't an issue when I first brought it to them. I brought it back to them. They charged me some more money to fix it. And now the vehicle is to where I can't even start it. I have it sitting in my yard. I can't sell it because I need to now.
Do you?
And I filed through the Louisiana Used Car Commission, and also I have a letter from the State Attorney General's office to them. Is it worth it to me to go ahead and file a small claims with them? I know they have lawyers in their pocket.
Here's what you'll need to do, though. You'll need to find an auto mechanic that right. has a lot of experience who may qualify somehow as an expert to testify that you brought the car into them with this problem. I examined the vehicle, and I can establish that they did something to the vehicle to make sure that, you know, it was going to be coming back to them for more repairs. And that's a tough burden to prove.
I talked to the used car commission. They also said, you know, we protect consumers. And right now that, you know, the lady that owns the dealership, she's got two pro teams right now that she's got more issues with. But in the process, is it worth it to me to go to a small claims and file against them?
Again, if you do that, you're still going to have to prove your case.
You got to prove your case.
Right. And you got to prove that they somehow tinkered with the vehicle to make sure that you would be coming back to them. And that's going to be a hard burden.
But if you bought it as is and there's no warranty, it'll be tough.
Well, he didn't buy it from them. He just bought it in. Yeah, he didn't buy it from them.
I didn't buy it from this dealership. I bought it from somewhere else. I brought it to them because of an ignition problem, and all of a sudden I had.
Yeah, well, that's a tough case, but you're going to have to say that, in their opinion, someone manipulated your engine, so you'd have to bring it back for more problems. And that's a.
Or if they made a mistake.
Somebody's going to have to step up to the plate and testify to that, is all I'm saying. And you want somebody that's going to have some. You know, some serious experience with
a good
auto repair.
Certified mechanic.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, well, thanks for the call, Jody.
All right, Jody.
All right, we have one more text. What do you think about the Pelican situation?
They said about Coach Gentry. You think he'll keep his job if he takes the Pelicans to the NBA playoff? Question is, I like the way he's responding to this, because he's saying, I am not responding to the Anthony Davis. He's like done with Anthony Davis, and I think that's kind of how the city feels. And he said, you know, nobody's asking me about this team that just won this game against Oklahoma without Anthony.
You know
Davis.
What this last 2 weeks with the Pelicans demonstrated? Miss Gale's the boss.
Yeah,
she ain't messing around.
Good for her.
She's good for her. You know, he was a pallbearer for her husband's wedding, funeral, and he's going to do this. Hey, I'm the boss here, and we're going to. She's taking control. See you next week on All Things Legal.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us, and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.